So I'm on lunch break yesterday, and a woman friend of mine calls me, hits me with a question that got me thinking. Like, how soon should her man be ready to meet her family after dating her for nearly a year? So next month will be a
red
year.
Red flag.
Like, she says he comes to town on business. He's a businessman, like owns property in the city, and makes time to see her every time. Now, when she schedules family time for him to meet her family, he'll agree initially, like, hey, yeah, baby, that's good to go. I'll be glad to meet your family. And then when the time comes, he ghosts her. Like, she may speak to him in the morning, but no response to calls or texts throughout the day. Basically goes cold turkey. What do you think, Tay? Like, I told her, don't ask him again, but what do you think?
Think that this is a red flag. I feel like this person is showing you how they communicate. I think you always want to consider that what people show you is who they are, and it is how they approach things. So I think that he is approaching this is an example of how he's going to handle future communication with her. This is an example of how he's going to handle situations with her. I think everything needs to be considered and evaluated. And I do think that there are a lot of people in the world. And after you investing a year of your time, if it's not even about him anymore, it's about you. And what you choose to invest the next year of your time will go towards. So I do think that this is a lot of self-evaluation. And I do think that she needs to start dating again. I don't think that this is a relationship. Oh, I mean, I just got to be 100. I'm not necessarily, because look, I'm not about just leaving one thing completely just because of a couple of red flags. I do think that you need to see what else is out there. You know, maybe, you know, start talking. You ain't necessarily got to jump into bed with somebody or right. Take somebody extra serious. But, you know, start talking to other people and, you know, start easing your way back out there. Because obviously this person is doubting some serious commitment with you. And they're just not ready for that right now. And if you are, then you need to start taking little small steps towards finding somebody else that can rock your boat. What about you?
I was talking to my sister and she said, she kind of reinforced it. She said, he could be married.
Yes, in a year.
Like, No. He could be married.
Oh, he could be married.
Yeah, he could be married. Separated, may not even be legally divorced. You know how we don't have our business.
Or think that he is something better out there. You know, I mean, men, how old is this guy?
38.
Yeah, so I think a lot of men, especially if you, like she said, if he's a successful man, a successful man sees his options. A successful man is evaluating his options. He's always comparing what he has to something else. And we live in a world where successful black men are a rarity in the community. So yes, I enjoy you. I enjoy your personality. I enjoy having sex with you. I enjoy this thing that we have when we're together. But I'm not ready to stop here. Am I ready to stop here? Am I ready to lie to your family? Am I ready to, you know, I mean.
Yeah. And I really agree with you on that, because I feel like as a man, sometimes we're not sure and already thinking of what our options are or could be. Until we decide that this woman is good for me, and only then our actions will align. And a good man, hey, can see those options and still decide that this woman is good for me. A good man, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, like, his age, 38. I did ask, did he have living parents, living, like, you know, people you want to bring your girl to.
Somebody,
like,
you want to share her with.
Yeah, grandma,
and brag about. Yeah.
Granddad, you know, like, uncle, whoever. And she said that a lot of his parents, grandparents have died. So I was thinking that is a lot of trauma and no living examples. That's a lot to kind of.
Nobody to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. Nobody to hold you accountable, you know, on moving forward, on developing a family, on you treating women right. I mean, who's to tell you, bro, you're not handling this right? Or who's to tell you, you know, you're handling this great. I'm so proud. I love to see y'all together.
Yeah. Yep. It could have been a value at a time when they were living, but now no value now. And why would I even want to come meet your parents if I can't? You can't even meet my parents. You know, why would I even make that even equally important, you know, of yeah. importance? So I was thinking, like, in just the words you said, accountability. When I'm dating a girl or in relationship with a woman, like, I automatically, when I think about her family, I think accountability. That if I'm ready to meet them, I'm ready to meet accountability. I'm ready to meet, I'm going to be around her father, her uncles, her cousins, and her big brothers.
Fake. You don't want to yeah. fake it.
And they're gonna be like, okay, you love my girl. I'm okay. Next time I'm gonna see you. I'm gonna see y'all walking down the aisle. I'm gonna see mm-hmm. y'all engaged mm-hmm. or some kind of steps.
Progression.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, maybe he's afraid of accountability. Oh, he's just not ready for that. That he don't want to lie to your parents. And that is admirable. But I did have an issue with just
the communication.
Yeah, like you commit to something. And as a man, not keeping your word should bother you. I'm just running into a lot of men these days that do not want to keep their word. Like, they will say, yeah, agree, I agree, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And time comes, nowhere to be found. And
selfish.
And
it's very, very, very selfish. And I feel like you said, it's an example of, I don't know if, mm-hmm. I don't want to tie this to father figure-ness, mm-hmm. but it is a father figure-ness. Because how, when you're selfish, men don't understand that their role is to protect and provide for others. Your purpose, the main purpose of you is to give to others. And when I say others, it's your offspring, your wife, your family, your blood, your legacy, what you leave behind. And so if you don't have that accountability, you know, you don't have that father figure to even give you an example of that, how would you know, you know? And the communication is just I feel like that's a huge red flag on just, I'm just not ready
he's ghosting. Like, she can't hear from him the nut. Like, he goes maybe 2 or 3 days before he talks to her again.
That's crazy.
And it's a pattern. Not only one time.
That's just disrespectful.
Yeah.
That's like disrespect. That's like saying, you're not even worth of me explaining why, you know, I'm not talking to you.
You cutting deep.
I that's so disrespectful.
But it is like, it's embarrassing.
It's disrespectful.
Because I'm sure she communicates to her family that he's coming. And then the day of, they're picking up on the pattern.
Yeah.
That, you know,
yeah, girl, okay, go.
Now, hold on. And then, you know, I was talking to my auntie about it. And she was saying how she could see that the expectation of accountability is there. But she says that's so unfair. She said even when her son is dating, she doesn't put pressure on them to be anything.
What do you
but
mean?
But themselves. Like, you know, the pressure that comes as a man, sometimes we, like when we're meeting your family, we feel like they're going to hold us accountable to taking you seriously, right? Or trying to step in marriage with you, and they're going to continue to ask questions about me and stuff like that. This should be a progression. And she's like, that's really sad that pressure's on y'all, because when people are dating my son, I don't have that expectation. I just want them to be and figure it out. Feel like your family do that for you? Like when you meet somebody, do they have the expectation to meet? Do they have the expectation to meet your boyfriend or like?
They used to when I was younger, and that's why I feel like that was a way of protecting me. Mm-hmm. That was a way for them to protect me from being hurt, from being with someone who doesn't take me serious if I were looking for something serious. And I feel like now I'm old enough to where I don't, you know, I grant that permission between establishing that relationship. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger, I was still being protected and I was still being taught on how to vet a man for the path of marriage or a serious relationship.
Right.
So yeah, things change.
I think one of the things I love about my mom is like she trusts in what she put in us and raised us that she don't ever meddle in our relationships. That's a boundary for her. Like she just does not inquire. I mean, if we do have somebody meet her, she'd be nice. You know, she'll embrace her or embrace him. But like far as relationship, she just doesn't get involved, and I love that.
Was she that way back when you were like in high school and in early college?
Absolutely. Like she just did not do
that. Yeah, okay, well, what about your sisters though? Do you think it's like a different dynamic between women and men?
No, they had to bring them to her. And I mean, and she just she just has that boundary line. And I think it does so well with us. Because one thing a woman told me one time when I was back in Auburn, she said, whenever you're having issues with someone you're dating or somebody you're serious relationship with, a marriage, please do not tell your parents about the issue because they'll never let it go.
Yeah.
Basically, like, you've moved on.
Yeah.
And they still stuck in that shit.
Yeah.
And they see him every Thanksgiving. All they're going to think about is what he did to you.
Yeah.
So I thought that was some really good advice. Just like,
they don't see the progression. They don't see the changes. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. And then I was thinking about, you know, I gave her some advice. I told her, I said, you have a part to play too. You have to decide whether this is something you want to hang on to while he deliberates, because he's clearly thinking, or withdraw. Give space.
No.
Take away the physical.
Withdraw.
And let him decide.
You withdraw. Because this is it. Like I said, this goes deeper than beyond him just establishing a relationship with, or him wanting, lying about meeting your family. This is an example of how he will communicate with you in the future. This is not going to change.
You play like you practice.
This is not going to change. This is a 38-year-old man. This is who he is. This is how he approaches situations he's not comfortable with. So,
and here's what's interesting. They both desire to have kids, but he's dropping the ball with these small commitments. Like, you play like you practice. Like, man, if she plan a birthday party for these kids, will you show up?
Yep.
Will you be there? Like, nope. Can she communicate with you?
Nope.
You're showing her just like,
yep.
You don't give a fuck.
Yep. this is how they're going to approach everything that people do is a microcosm of bigger things or bigger approaches on how they are. So if you start off with, you know, little bit of changing up the stories when you talk or when you're telling a story, best believe this person is a liar in bigger aspects, okay? Like, just the smaller things are always, it's always a lead to a pattern. It's always lead to a bigger pattern in a bigger way, so no.
And you know, I don't want to address the elephant in the room, but if an elephant is the fucking room, I'm going to say something to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sex that keeps us here.
Man, look.
That's the things that we're deliberating on, we can deliberate all day, but really and truly, I feel like it's the sex. Because sex can really cloud your judgment. You were telling me about a video you saw the other day about a woman that was talking about sex and the power of it and how women speed up.
Yeah, like sex. She was literally, if anybody's curious about it, just follow me on Twitter, follow my Twitter page. It'll be in the description, but I'll share the video link. But she had evidence on how the brain, the woman's brain, physically different than the male brain. Especially, there's a chemical reaction that happens that is significantly different than the man's brain that changes our perception of the person, of our view on the person that we have sex with after we have sex with them. And I would share that video with you, but it was further evidence that no matter what we do as women, we are different. We approach sex different, and we are different. We are impacted differently by sex. It's never, unless you're severely traumatized, unless you're severely hurt and you've been through some very deep, deep death of pain or whatever you've been through, you cannot trick yourself out of believing that that sex is just sex. Like, if something happens,
yeah,
you know, whether you want to acknowledge that or not.
Talk to us about how, like, toxic people have the best sex because...
Yeah, she was saying that, that toxic... See, and I hate trying to remember stuff verbatim. But yeah, she was saying that toxic people have the best sex, and I can't remember verbatim, but...
And I feel like you were saying, like, basically, they're not developing other areas of their...
Oh, yeah,
you know, humanity, but the sex, they really thrive in. And your mom used to always tell you that sex was a whole, like...
Yeah.
Unpack that for us, please.
Yeah, my mom used to always say that sex is the last place that a relationship can go. Like, after you have sex, there's nowhere else to go after that. That is the most vulnerable, the most conceal part of a person. And once you have that, there's nothing else that you can keep to yourself. So we're having these flings and these short experiences with people that are literally seeing us at our most naked. We're literally exchanging DNA with people, but then think that there's no type of connection. And then women wonder why their expectations of men change. Oh yeah, I can have a one night stand. But after you have that one night stand, now you want all your bills paid. Now you want him to care about if you get a flat tire. Now you want him to, you know, care about if you ate today. Now you want him to care about how you're feeling, your emotions, because we're not wired to cut that off. We're wired to come closer. We're wired to become magnets with people after we have sex with them, especially women, especially. So we're really hurting ourselves.
Oh, we're breaking their heart.
Yeah.
We're breaking your heart.
Yeah.
Man.
Men aren't. Men are able to, they're literally, I can't explain it, but this video, she literally talks about how men can literally have a nut and move on with their life.
When I look back at the women, I remember where, because I'm a clear communicator, I ain't gonna lie. Like, back in the day, I used to be savage. Like, I would tell you, I just want to have sex. And I kind of broke, but I remember when me and this girl linked up and we had sex, and she tried to make it a commitment thing, make it more than what it was. Beautiful girl. And I ain't gonna lie, I told her, I said, hey, from the jump, I told you this was just about sex. All that other stuff, that crying and all that, like that makes me nervous. Like, I was immature, don't get me wrong, but I was being real. And I would just remember she cried and she hung up on me, blocked me, never, you know what I'm saying, didn't have anything else to do with me of again. But she did refollow me recently, and that was years ago. But I think she, at the end of the day, appreciated my honesty. But that still doesn't make up for the fact that she exchanged her body with me. And she was expecting more of me.
Mm-hmm. We're always expecting more after sex. Mm-hmm. And men are inherently selfish until they're taught not to be.
Yeah.
Until they have established in their head, this is somebody I care about. Mm-hmm. They can be very, very selfish.
Yeah.
They are selfish by nature because they have to be in order to protect and provide and maintain logic.
Thinking about that. You know, I was fresh off of alumni picnic. And we have a good time every year. But man, I just remember niggas was, you know, they had good plates, steaks, and barbecue and everything. The girls was cooking for them. And they had a good, you know, played a good card game and didn't stay back to help with taking down the tents. Like, by the time we were about to wrap up, they already saying, oh, we can move the card game to our house, fellas. Like, I just wanted to ask them, like, hey, y'all ain't even leave, is you? Like,
like, y'all done hit it and quit it? Food and quit it?
But then I decided that's got to be in you. That ain't something I can just teach you on the moment. That's something that, you know, when you at the house and your mom's struggling with the bags out there in the groceries, and you go out there and get them damn groceries and you put as many groceries as you can on your damn hands, because that's your mama, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you have to learn how to not be selfish.
Thank God my homeboys, you know what I'm saying? They from the hood. I'm like, man, I know y'all some of my kin, because they was out there, I'm talking about sweat. And I remember it was just a amazing scene to see, but I remember one girl in particular, she was struggling with, you know, taking down the table. I came over and helped it, and she was just like, I don't know what I would do without you. Now, simple as that sound, right? That should remind you as a man of why we're needed.
Yes, in the world. In the world, Craig. Not just the city, the world.
Like, doing manly shit turns her on.
Doing manly stuff just reminds of what your
purpose. Can she call on you to be the repairman? Can she call on you to fix the tire? Can she call on you not have to depend on roadside assistance? Roadside assistance is very expensive, by the way. That shit. But, you know, the fact that she can call you as a man and say, hey, I need a man. That's why I don't know what I'd do without you.
I need your strength.
Without your leadership, bro.
Without your strength.
What do y'all want her to submit to for real? Not just the video game. Not just having sex. Not just laying down at Mandingo. Like,
because that's it. Because you can't even say nothing else. Can't even name nothing else. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
We got to be practical in this, fellas. And that's just my TED talk. Like, I ain't want to spend too much time on this. And I'm interested in how this girl's story goes. Because I told her, I said, you know, I don't want to pressure him. I feel like a year, next month, you know, relationship, and probably 6 months, 4 or 5 months of dating, and, you know, I'm going to give him grace. I want to see what he do this year, though. November, Christmas. Them some hard fucking months to go. Go with some excuses. Like, you got Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and Valentine's. Like, it's a lot of holidays to go.
So you're saying that this is going to determine?
I would have more clarity on what this guy is all about. If he can go through these months winging it with excuses and ghosting,
then that penis must be good.
Stop pretending. Y'all give us some feedback at stoppretendingpodcast@gmail.com. Keep the reviews coming. We love y'all so much.
Bye.